And you're listening to Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM, the program that brings you the voices you ordinarily don't get to hear. And of course, that's definitely the case this time around with our special episode on George Galloway, because he is a voice that is being denied to Canada. And we're going to be talking all about that. But before I do that, I should just announce a special event that's happening tomorrow, and that's a picket to enable George Galloway to speak. And we're going to be explaining this and talking about this in the program, but there's going to be a picket at the constituency office of Conservative MP David Sweet this Thursday. That's March the 26th from 3 to 4 p.m. And Sweet's office is located in Greensville on the Niagara Escarpment above Dundas. It's in a strip mall on the corner of Kirby Avenue and Highway 8. But we'll give you details on how to find that. There will be a carpool leaving near McMaster University before 2:30 p.m. tomorrow at 88 Forsyth North. We'll get into that. But we have Soonshi with us today, and Soonshi has been helping and co-hosting and doing a lot of technical work and things on the program. But she's also been involved in the mobilization to bring George Galloway to Canada. So, Soonshi, thanks for being here.
Hi.
Now, I guess for our listeners that aren't fully aware of the situation, perhaps people have caught a few scattered news reports, but essentially what has happened is our federal government has banned UK MP, Member of Parliament from Bethnal Green, who's been elected 5 times, George Galloway, from coming to Canada. I had personally been involved in trying to bring George to Canada, in the sense that I was publicizing his tour in Hamilton and arranging for tickets so people in Hamilton could pick up tickets and go to what certainly would be a packed event when he speaks in Toronto on March 31st. He's going to be in Ontario speaking at Toronto and also in Mississauga. And he's going to be speaking on the subject of resisting war from Gaza to Kandahar. And the reason he's coming, of course, is because this outspoken anti-war MP just returned from a large convoy of aid to Gaza. After the bombing of Gaza recently and the invasion, Galloway had organized a humanitarian relief convoy, which had traveled through many countries and spoken with a lot of people, gathering support, finally arriving in Gaza and distributing that aid. And so he was going to come to Canada and talk about what it means to help people in perhaps people who have been oppressed by the actions of your own government in the UK, in the US, and in Canada, and what it means to do that, and how to stop wars, especially the war in Afghanistan, which is an increasingly unpopular war in those three countries. The UK is slowly trying to get out. A lot of complaints from soldiers, high-ranking officers. The US, it's never been quite as never received the same amount of support it did in Canada, where Afghanistan is our war, but a war that is also increasingly unpopular. So Galloway was going to address these issues in a very exciting manner. He's a very boisterous speaker. He's always very exuberant and larger than life. Again, everyone was really looking forward to this. And then, bam, what happened? Well, I woke up one morning and I saw on Facebook, actually, that was you.
Yeah, last Friday.
Yes, it was last Friday. As soon as you had posted on Facebook an article from The Guardian newspaper. And in this article, it was explained that Galloway was not going to be speaking in Toronto after all because our federal government had banned him from entering Canada. They had said it's not legal for him to come into the country. This was absolutely shocking because they could only really give 2 reasons. And according to the Guardian article from last Friday and also from The Sun in the UK, which they referenced, our government said, number one, they were concerned about what Galloway would say about Afghanistan. They know that he's an elected public official, public figure in the UK, and he was coming over to talk against the war in Afghanistan to encourage Canada to withdraw from Afghanistan, which is what so many citizens feel. The government here expressed concern about that, and they also said that Galloway is, quote, a security threat. He is a threat to national security. This is pretty outrageous, because if he was a threat to national security, surely, you know, he would be detained in the UK or elsewhere. And we can certainly get into that. Well, Soonshi, why were they saying he's a threat?
Well, they were saying that because of his associations with Hamas, because he delivered this aid to the people of Gaza, that he was associating with a listed terrorist organization, and that individuals who have connections to terrorist organizations are not admissible to Canada. However, in the same law that states this, it is stated that our minister can still admit him if he is deemed to not be a threat to Canadian security. And I don't understand if he's, you know, if he's not a security threat in the UK and he's not considered a security threat in the United States, because that's where he is right now. He has been admitted to the United States. How come he is considered a threat to Canadian security? It's rather unclear. And
it really stands out because Canada has become the only country in the world to ban George Galloway, the only country in the world to say that George Galloway cannot enter. Because, I mean, George Galloway, he's a controversial figure. And, for example, the government of Egypt, he made statements about the government of Egypt. The government of Egypt is not entirely amenable to Galloway's visit. They don't support many of Galloway's proposals, and figures in the Egyptian government may be opposed to George Galloway and all of his views. Nonetheless, they let George Galloway into Egypt as part of his aid convoy to Gaza. So even though the government of Egypt had disagreements with George Galloway, they let him into Egypt and through Egypt as part of his aid convoy.
Yeah, and our government is one that prides itself on supporting our freedom of expression, freedom of speech. This is the same administration that has defended the cartoon that came up, the controversial cartoon from...
Yes, we should definitely bring that up. I'm just thinking in terms of the countries he's been banned from.
Oh, yes.
It's just funny because there's the one country, Canada, in the U.S. He's coming to Canada from the
U.S. British Member of Parliament. And
we make fun of the U.S., you know, for being like they have all their detention prisons and so on. And they talk about freedom, but they don't appear to mean it. So it appears as if they're hypocrites. But they let Galloway speak in the U.S., even though he had come to the United States before to speak to the Congress and criticize the Iraq war right in the middle of their own government. I mean, that took courage, but they were willing to let him do that. Even Israel was willing to let Galloway, you know, go into Gaza. Israel controls many of the entrances into Gaza. Israel was willing too. So a lot of the countries that Galloway criticizes, including Israel, including the United States, and to some degree Egypt as well, all of them let Galloway speak. So only Canada.
I think this makes Canada look pretty bad on the international stage. It puts it in a pretty negative light in terms of the freedoms that we're allowed. And if anything, I think that this banning of his entrance is detrimental to our national interest in terms of our image on the international stage.
Yes. Again, this is related to all those big controversies that come up, like you said, about
the Danish cartoons that came up.
We remember that, right? We remember that. The Danish cartoons, they made the cartoon. It depicted the Prophet Muhammad. It was extremely offensive to Muslims. They knew it would be offensive to Muslims. This was the same cartoon that refused to air a satirical cartoon about Jesus. They thought that would be too offensive. But it was okay to run one about the Prophet Muhammad. They ran a cartoon that they knew would be offensive to Muslims, and they made a big deal about it, and it got around, and it did offend Muslims all around the world. And so what did all these, especially right-wing people, in the Harper government, what did they say? They said it's important to stand up for free speech. We may not like the cartoon that depicts the Prophet Muhammad and offends so many Muslims to the very core, but we have to respect free speech. So when it came to that, yes.
It's pretty hypocritical of them to...
I mean,
now turn around and say that Galloway.
Okay, that's just it. Because it seems whenever someone has something bad to say about Muslims, you've got people saying, well, we got to have free speech. But now when someone's coming to speak in Canada and a view that so many Canadians support, that we should leave Afghanistan, that the war on terror is wrong, it's also a view that our government disagrees with. And suddenly, no, it's too dangerous. We can't hear him. So they gave us the two reasons. Number one, they were concerned about Afghanistan, what he was going to say about that. And number two, the terror threat. That's very funny. You do mention him being a UK MP and being elected and so forth. So if he was a threat to any sort of national security, the U.S. would have detained him already, right?
Yes.
The U.S. would have detained him. His own government would have detained him. Obviously, this whole Anglosphere, the whole Anglo-American alliance, does not believe Galloway is any sort of threat. So our government, I mean, it's ludicrous. The government's just posturing on that issue. And the whole Hamas thing, you brought that up as well. I mean, that was part of the justification for the security threat. And all he did was he came in a convoy which had been loaded to the gills with all sorts of humanitarian aid, right?
Yes.
He went through like six countries or something. So they had all, he'd gone to the border, he was inspected at each of these borders, and it was all humanitarian aid, right? It wasn't full of weapons or something.
Yeah.
So it was all aid. And then he pulled the convoy up to Gaza, and of course Hamas is the elected government there,
mm-hmm.
and he said, well, here's all the trucks full of food and medical supplies and so on, here's the keys to the trucks, and now you can distribute it to the people of Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was doing. It was clearly distributing aid into the elected government, whether you like it or not. Hamas is the
elected government. Yes.
And the other thing is he was AIDS. So you can't – there's nothing they can get him on. That's why I haven't heard any specific statements.
Well, I watched an interview with Jason Kenney where he says that he will review the claim, but he said that he feels no need to allow him in because he is an individual who associates with terrorists, and he does not feel that somebody who has connections to terrorist groups should be allowed into our country. And it was kind of funny. It was an interview with the British media, actually, and yes. I believe the journalist there tried to ask him several times if he's saying that George Galloway is a terrorist, and every time he was like, no, I'm just saying that an individual who has connections is a terrorist.
Well, Kenny's been backtracking on this, right?
Yeah.
Some of the articles I've seen have been suggesting, well, Kenny's saying, well, it wasn't really me who banned Galloway.
Yes, he said, it's not me. I'm supposed to go in there and say that, you know, since he's not a threat, he should still be allowed in, as they do with many people who have criminal records and you know, musicians and things like that when they travel. And, you know, some of these people have criminal records, and under a regular scrutiny, they wouldn't have been allowed. But there is that clause that says that if they're deemed to not be a security threat to our national interest, then they can be allowed in. And for such a public figure and a member of parliament to not be allowed into our country under that reasoning it's embarrassing.
I'm just thinking in terms of Kennedy's backtracking. He is blaming his civil servant. Yes. He's hiding behind the staff. But when this all broke out, when this broke on Friday and the story's reread, it was clear that Kenny supported the decision. Like, he was very much backing it, if not the one originating it.
Yes.
Because him and his staff members were calling Galloway names, right? His own assistant in his department said, we don't want Galloway to pee on our carpet. So, I mean, just to be clear about that, a member of his staff on the government in his immigration ministry were saying, we are happy Galloway's not coming. You know, we think he's like some dog that's going to pee on our carpet. So it's clear that they didn't stand there and make a neutral decision and say, well, look at what the civil service said. We therefore have to back it. They said, oh, great. Let's now we can block mm-hmm. Galloway. We can call him names. I think it was Kenny's assistant. He also called Galloway a street corner Cromwell. And Kenny, I think, called him Infandus. He called Galloway Infandus, which is like infamous, but in a different kind of word. Yeah. I think it's a word Galloway used, and he was trying to use that word against Galloway. But the point is, they took an ideological attack on Galloway. So Kenny and his staff in his ministry were gleefully criticizing and throwing insults and mud at Galloway. It's clear that they didn't want him in, that they welcomed this decision not to let him in, that they were happy about it. And now, of course, they're facing a lot of flack as a result of this decision. They thought they could just ban someone because they didn't like him. And they receive there's petitions and stuff online, right?
Yes, there's a petition. And actually, the website where all the opposition to this is being organized is www.defendfreespeech.ca. And there's a petition online there. There's also a Facebook group, Let George Galloway into Canada. And there's an online there's a link to the online petition on there. And in fact, that group has over 7,000 members that have quickly joined over the past couple of days.
7,000 members.
Over 7,000.
I'm just stunned because I was there on the first day that the group started. I joined it as soon as I heard about it. I was seeing like 20 members join every minute or something.
It kept them going up.
Yeah. The first day it was well over 1,000. In one day, over 1,000 members. And then it just kept climbing. So they asked people to sign the petition. And I don't know, it was several thousand in favor of him coming, wasn't it?
Yeah, over 4,000 last time I looked at the online one.
Canadians, thousands of Canadians came out signing a petition saying, let Galloway in. Now, there was a counter petition circulated, I'm told, but it got barely 200 signatures.
Oh.
But it shows that this issue is mobilizing Canadians. It's engaged the attention of Canadians and their activities. But of course, it's overwhelmingly in favor of Galloway coming.
In fact, I wanted to point out there are several people who don't agree with Galloway's views, who are, you know, on the other side of the fence when it comes to the issues that Galloway speaks about. But they feel very strongly that Galloway should be allowed into Canada as a matter of free speech issue because...
Yeah, but we should review Galloway's statements mm-hmm. on it as well, because Galloway had, I mean, he said this is an idiotic ban that shames Canada. You know, it's, and that's true. And certainly the image of Canada, and especially after what Jason Kenney's department has been doing in recent weeks, really has been suffering as a result of this. But also, Galloway had some comments. One of them was, he said, this was very, very striking to me. He said that the ban on him coming into Canada vindicates the anti-war movement's position that the wars abroad in Iraq and Afghanistan serve to limit our freedoms rather than preserve them. So as a result of these wars in Afghanistan, what's happening is there's a clampdown on people's ability to talk about it. There's a clampdown on people's ability to demonstrate about it. So they tell us that we're, you know, we have troops abroad to defend our liberties, to support freedom and democracy. Well, you know, how come they say they support freedom and democracy in Afghanistan, but I can't organize to have George Galloway speak in Canada?
Yeah, and then the anti-terror legislation, even it all started with this idea of we're going to defend democracy and bring democracy to Afghanistan and Iraq, and back home we're having these special laws created so that we can detain people without charging them and showing them evidence. And, you know, now it's permeating to infringing on our right to organize and express and share information. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, in fact, that this meeting that I attended last Sunday, which was an emergency organizing meeting to see what we could do to express our, you know, discontent with this decision by our government, there were a variety of groups that came together and we had a discussion. And what really came out of this is that this is not an isolated problem, that it's not just Galloway. It's not a single mistake. There were, you know, several groups from various areas of our society that came up, and they shared stories about you know, being attempts at silencing them. And one of them, I mean, was the Canadian Arab Federation, which provides a program for new immigrants. It's a language program. It's called LINK. Actually, my mom was part of that program when we first moved to Canada. And it was funded by the government. And every single year, the government would do a review of it. And every single year, they scored an A+. In it for the past 11 years. And so there was nothing wrong with the program itself. But, you know, Jason Kenney decided to cut the funding for that program because it doesn't like what the Canadian Arab Federation has to say or what they do, and which, you know, seems ludicrous because this program is so great, and it is not just a program for Arabs or Muslims. Like something like more than 85% of the students are not Arab or Muslim. And, you know, it's kind of this control of I don't like what you have to say, so I'm going to do everything I can to curb your organization's ability to do things, even though those things are really good. And it's just kind of infringing into various areas.
You know, I think we should talk about the censorship, especially in regard to the Canadian Arab Federation and its funding a bit later. I think we're going to have Sid Lacombe on the line shortly.
Oh, sure.
Sid is the director of the Canadian Peace Alliance, and he's going to be coordinating some of the larger actions about Galloway. And we're going to be talking more about what's happening in the Hamilton community locally shortly after the interview. But certainly there's broad actions as well that we don't have full information on that we have to go to Sid to get. It's very interesting because you have to mount a legal challenge and so forth if you want Galloway to come into the country now that the government has done what it's done. So we want to talk about how to challenge this and what you have to do as a citizen if you actually want to be able to have free speech. And if you want to have these freedoms, you want to talk about things, you have to be willing to picket, you have to go to conferences, you got to go to meetings, go to lectures, and even mount legal challenges. And that's just a day in the life of organizing here in Canada.